Hey guys, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
What else are you listening to these days?
Come on.
Hi. If anyone wants to know, the deer on the wall has headphones on.
Did you just notice that?
No. I just, you know, I wonder what he's listening to. That's
Hank,
all.
Hank, yeah, he wanted to record with us.
Oh, okay. He's ready to record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chase actually put them on him. He does this from time to time, like...
I'll dress him.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, he put his undies on his antlers.
Oh, okay. So, salute your shorts. Got it.
Yeah, so Chris was like, no, that's not happening. So Chris hasn't seen the headphones yet. So when he gets home, he'll...
Is he going to be upset that he's been touched?
No. He'll be okay.
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, just living life.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't have any news. I feel like...
I think you have a little news, like you're going to...
Yeah, I'm going on a trip.
You're going on a trip. Is this your first time out of the country?
I mean, I've been to Mexico.
Okay.
But, yeah.
That's part of Texas.
So that doesn't right.
yes, guys. Mm-hmm. Even though, I have to say I'm a little salty because... Oh. All the time. I'm like, you should come to England with us. You should come to England someday. Oh, she's coming, but she's not going with us.
Yeah. There's other family involved. I know.
Whatever. I'll see you for like 2 seconds.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
Whose fault is that?
Well, I think it's your fault, but we can talk about that off the air.
Yeah. We can agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree. Hmm. So what you got for us today?
Well, you may have already heard this case before. It is called the Horseshoe Lake Murder.
Ooh. Dun, dun, dun.
It's just sad. I mean, it's all of our cases are sad, but, I'm just going to get into it. You'll see for yourself.
Okay.
Horseshoe, Arkansas is a town that is rich in history.
Ooh.
And I like history.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you the whole thing because it's a lot.
Give us the whole thing.
Well, I didn't type it out. So, but just a little snippet. The Brinkley family, the McKay family, and the Snowden families are some of who built the town of Horseshoe. So it was after the Civil War. One of the pilots was flying over the land and was like, that's where I want to start my farm.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the olden days when you're like, this looks good. I'm going to set up right here.
Yeah. I'm going to squat.
Yeah. I don't know who this land belongs to, but... It's mine now.
Yeah. I think it was like in the 1800s. I said, I didn't type it, so don't take my word for it. But yeah, it was like he wanted a farm there. It was a floodplain, like the area was really wet. So anyway, the farm was a success. So he picked a great area.
Okay.
Horseshoe is about 30 miles away from Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
So Robert Snowden Jr., who went by Bob, married Grace. Now, this was a couple generations after the town was built.
Okay.
He's the one that actually started the farm land in the 20s. They built a small farmhouse next to Horseshoe Lake.
Hmm.
The house was quaint and overlooked the lake. The Snowdens' crops consisted of 1,000 acres of cotton.
Good law.
Yeah. The business was a very big success. And as the business grew, so did the house.
Oh, it just added on.
Yeah.
Like, let's add a couple rooms.
Right. Exactly. So in 1949, they built a bigger house from a simple house with one bathroom to a three-story, 6,000 square foot home.
Yeah. Holy moly.
It was known as the Snowden Plantation or the Snowden House. Bob was an entrepreneur. he had an aviation business which didn't survive due to the Depression.
Oh, man.
He and Grace were active in the community and put on parties and scavenger hunts. Now, I say they were active in the community. It was a very small community. I mean, this is the country.
Yeah. What do you mean by scavenger hunts? Because I'm interested.
So the snippet that I heard on this... He was a pilot in the military, and with his aviation business, he knew people who also flew planes. So he put together scavenger hunts for the pilot friends to fly around.
A scavenger hunt for the rich.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, guys, let's all get in our planes. And I've hidden some things in the trees.
I don't know what they were looking for, but...
But you know what? If I was rich like that, if I had more money than sense, I would probably do stuff like that. Like, I remember this one time me and Daniel played the lottery when it was like, I don't know, 900 million or something. And we like convinced ourselves that we were going to win. So we were talking about all the things that we were going to do with the money. And a scavenger hunt to find money was like one of my ideas. Like, you just walk up to someone in the grocery store that you have been watching for a while, not in a creepy way, but like a deserving way.
Okay.
Like, I think they could use the money. So you hand them a piece of paper, which leads them to a whole scavenger hunt. And it leads them to like $500,000.
Now, if that were me that you walked up to, I'd be like,
I'm not following these clues. If it were you,
where are you leading me to?
You'd be like, no, I'm not interested.
I'd be missing out on a lot of money.
If it was me, I would also not be interested. I'd be like, no, this doesn't happen. But I'm sure someone would be down for it.
Yeah.
That's anyway. Funny.
Yeah, I should have read up more on the scavenger hunt because that's pretty cool. But yeah, this was the majority of their entertainment.
Yeah.
There's
nothing much to do out in the country.
Exactly. So in the 1960s, Bob built other houses around the lake for the tenant farmers. You know, he needs help on that 1,000 acres. Mm-hmm. And also people that he knew from Memphis would come live there.
Cool.
Bob and Grace had a daughter named Sally. In 1941, Sally married a Mr. Hughes. He was a petty officer in the military and a Princeton graduate.
Well, excuse me.
So, yeah. I mean, she was
doing okay.
Yeah. She got a degree in chemistry while she was married to him. Yeah. So, but they eventually divorced after 10 years of marriage. A year later, in July of 1952, she married David McKay.
Okay.
David and Sally together had three daughters, Grace, Katie, and Martha.
Oh.
They moved to San Francisco at one point in California, and every summer the girls would come back home to the Snowden property and stay with their grandparents on the farm.
Aww.
They had beautiful memories growing up there, and I'd say we can kind of relate, maybe not to something so extravagant, but... You know, going to Mississippi every year on our...
we lived for it.
Oh, yeah.
We would make a list 3 weeks before we left of, I'm taking my blue jean shorts and those socks with the flowers on them.
Oh, yeah. I'd be packed 2 weeks before.
Oh, my gosh. We would go up to Mott's and get candy for our road trip.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, man.
That was the best memories growing up. So we would do that on our spring break. I mean, these girls got a whole summer with their grandparents. But yeah. In 1976, Sally filed for divorce from David.
Oh, Sally. Was there just no chemistry?
But I'm wishing. That's funny. I mean, you're a funny gal. Oh. Oh. I'm glad you're my cousin.
Someone's got to be.
Yeah, right? There has to be some personality with the... Oh, geez. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know why they divorced. I didn't see that in any report, but maybe there was no chemistry. Mm. Sally and the girls moved to a house in Memphis.
Memphis. So not too far away.
Yeah, no, but they did spend a lot of time going back and forth to the Snowden house on Horseshoe Lake. Sally opened up her own antique store.
Okay.
I wish I could go shop there.
Okay, Sally.
And she worked as a CPA.
Interesting.
I know. She was just
jack of all trades.
Yeah.
Okay,
cool. She was working her way through life. She was described as a lively woman. She spent her 70th birthday snorkeling and skinny dipping in the Virgin Islands.
No, I'm going to be on my deathbed for my 70th birthday.
She was always up for a good time.
Nice.
Bob and Grace, her parents, died in the 80s and were buried on the Snowden property.
Wow.
Sally became the matriarch of the property, but managed the property with her siblings. They turned the property into a restaurant and a bed and breakfast. Huh. It would be used for events such as bridal showers, weddings, and big dinner meetings.
Yeah.
There was even a movie that was filmed there in the 90s.
Really?
Called The Client.
I know what movie you're talking about.
I've never seen it, but I figured
you would. I've never seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. It's
something that I wasn't allowed to watch.
Probably. Yeah. It's starring Susan Sarandon and Tommy Lee Jones, if you want to go watch it and see the property in the movie. Mm-hmm. On September 10th of 1996, Sally's red Toyota was found by a man named Bobby about a mile from the Snowden house.
Hmm.
It was still running, and it looked as if it had hit a tree and rolled over.
Oh, man.
The windshield had a circular crack or imprint suggesting that the driver had hit their head on the windshield during the crash. But there was no person, nobody in the car.
Hmm.
Bobby went to the nearest business and told them of his findings. The owner of that business, Levi, confirmed that the vehicle was Sally's. Bobby and Levi drove to Sally's house, and as they drove up the driveway, they saw Lee Baker's truck backed up to the back door with the tailgate down. Now, who's Lee?
Yeah,
who's Lee
Baker? Yeah, I was about to say, wait a minute. I wasn't listening. I was like, wait a minute.
Did she talk the look about on your guy? Face. You're like, so confused. I'm lost. Lee was Sally's nephew.
Okay.
The son of Edith Snowden, Sally's sister.
All right.
He was a well-known blues musician.
Interesting. You know,
close to Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Bluesy area. A lot of musicians begin their career in Memphis, you know, so that's just what Lee was doing, what he set out to do. He was a guitarist and played with Furry Lewis.
Furry Lewis. Who's this?
He's a well-known blues musician.
Okay.
So he played with him for some period of time, but when Furry stopped playing at the end of his life, I think Furry played the blues music for like till he just couldn't and he was older. So when Lee stopped playing with Furry, he got married to a woman named Carol and had three sons. He became an English teacher at Hughes High School, and he still played music with other bands, but he had more responsibilities. So like he helped Sally around the property at the Snowden property. So, I mean, he was just kind of doing all the things that he loved.
Yeah.
His house was just 100 yards away from Sally's house. So for him to be at Sally's house wasn't abnormal.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think about our family and like if I saw, I don't know, your mom's car at my mom's house, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like, what's going on over there?
Yeah, but.
Actually, I would. I would go and be like, why wasn't I invited? I know.
Excuse me. What's going on here? But what was weird was that Lee's truck was backed up with his tailgate mm-hmm. down close to the back door.
Yeah.
Anyway, Levi went to the front door, and when he put his hand on, up to the door was hot.
No.
He realized that the house was on fire.
Oh, my gosh.
Levi drove back to his shop and called 911 and went back to the house and pulled Lee's truck away from the house with a winch. He's like, we got to get this.
Okay.
Like, I can't open this front door. We got to get this truck away from the screen door so that they could get in.
Wow. So it's right up to the door.
Yeah. Another report said that neighbors noticed flames coming from the set from Sally's home and called 911. So I guess there were several 911 calls, wow. But first responders arrived. And when the fire was out, they found Sally's and Lee's body laying burned on the floor.
I did not expect you to say that.
Yes, ma'am. Sally was 75 and Lee was 52.
Oh.
It was determined that they were killed between 10:30 a.m. and 11:15 a.m.
Okay.
And they both had been shot.
Oh, my.
Lee and his new band at the time, called the Agitators, were saving up money to drop their first album.
Oh, bless them.
I know. Lee stored that money along with some blues memorabilia at his home. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that just right about a month before the fire at Sally's, on August 12th, Lee's house caught on fire.
What?
So just a month before Sally's house caught on fire, Lee's house. So everything that Lee had saved, all that money he saved, gosh, the memorabilia, no. It was gone.
Oh.
And in that fire, that fire at his house was still being investigated.
Oh.
When Sally's went.
Oh, man.
Caught on fire. So there had been three criminal informants of the burglary and murder. I don't have their names or what they said, what the police report said, but police had evidence tying Travis Lewis to the scene of the murders. He was a 16-year-old Horseshoe Lake resident who lived on one of the properties on the estate.
Okay.
He lived in a home with his mother, Gladys, and Gladys was renting a home from Sally.
Okay, known to the victims.
Right. Gladys was Sally's housekeeper.
Oh.
And Travis was a student at Hughes High School and attended Lee's English class. Travis also was good friends with Lee's two sons.
Oh, man.
When they interviewed him, he denied knowing anything about the murders and even passed a polygraph test.
Wow.
Police confirmed that he was, that Travis was suspended from school on the exact day of the murders. They asked him to come in for a second polygraph test, which he failed this one.
Oh. Wasn't so confident then.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, even though it wasn't an actual confession, Travis made a statement confirming that he was there at the scene.
Oh.
After questioning him and putting the pressure on, mm-hmm. he admitted to the burglary at Lee's home.
Oh, the fire?
The fire. The burglary. It says burglary, so I'm assuming maybe he found...
Yeah.
Lee's money. Maybe he took some of the blues memorabilia. I don't know. But he admitted to that. He claimed that a friend went with him to Sally's to burglarize Sally's. And that the friend is the one who killed Sally and Lee.
Oh.
I'm not sure the name of that friend. I don't know if he gave names to the police. But Travis was the only one that was ever charged.
Okay.
So Sally's car,
yes.
I said earlier, was found down the road from her home. Travis's DNA was found on a hair inside of the car.
Okay.
Police also recovered his fingerprints from the driver's side door. Travis was charged with 2 counts of murder and a series of other felony charges.
Yeah, I'll say.
On November 5th, Travis was arrested. Neighbors were dumbfounded and commented on how polite and soft-spoken Travis was. Mm. Like, this was not, this didn't seem like something he would do.
Yeah.
How could he be so vicious? He was charged with 1 count of burglary and 2 counts of capital murder and arson. So he had, they slapped it on him. Yeah. Okay. There was opportunity for the death penalty because he was being charged as an adult.
Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Even though he was 15 when the murders occurred.
Holy moly.
Looking back at his history, Travis had already started a criminal career with several other charges. Since September 8th of that year, he had been charged with 4 misdemeanors, including curfew violations and criminal mischief, littering, and aggravated assault.
Yikes.
Now, this assault, I think, was related to him throwing rocks and bottles at police cars.
Ooh,
that's going to get you into some trouble. Yeah.
Gotta say.
The prosecution theorized that Travis went into Sally's home with the intent to burglarize, but he got caught by Sally and Lee and made a quick decision and shot them and then set the house on fire to cover the evidence. Mm. Travis eventually took a guilty plea.
Wow.
Knowing that he had the opportunity to,
yeah, well,
you know, be put to death. Mm-hmm. So even though he said he pled guilty, he still maintained that someone else committed the crime. But he was sentenced to 28 years in prison.
Is that it?
28 years, yeah. And he had to serve at least 70% of it.
He'll still be a spring chicken, though.
For killing 2 people.
That just seems pretty light.
Yes. And but Sally's family had a lot to do with that. They did not want... I think some of them were more lenient on Travis.
Because he was so young.
Right. Martha McKay, Sally's daughter, came back to live in Memphis to be close and help her aunt manage the property. In 2004, she bought the Snowden house from the rest of the family and restored it.
Nice.
She wanted to preserve the history of it. She was very into preserving history for a lot of things.
That's great.
She lived there and opened a bed and breakfast, and the family would gather there and have family reunions. It's just such a beautiful place, and I'll post pictures, you'll see. Martha and the house actually were featured in the Memphis magazine.
Ooh.
Her interview was titled The Lady of the Lake.
Oh.
And I'll attach the link to that article in the show notes. Martha is described as a generous person with a big heart. And to speak of her and her beautiful soul, even though justice was served for her mother, she did not like that Travis was in prison. She was one of the ones that didn't want him having such a harsh sentence.
Okay.
He was so young, and she wasn't even sure that he was really the one that did the crimes. I mean, because he said he wasn't.
Yeah.
She wanted to believe him.
Oh. Did she know him personally? I mean, I know it was a small town and he knew.
Right. Yeah. She
Sally
knew.
Sally and the family.
It yeah. Just seems their like, families knew each other for sure. Mm. Martha was a Buddhist and had a heart for forgiveness as well. Her family didn't like it, but Martha reached out and befriended Travis. She wrote him letters and even went to the prison to see him.
Wow.
Several times.
Wow, Martha.
I know. Every time that Travis was up for parole, she would okay it, but the rest of the family would refuse. Mm. In 2018, Travis was 39 and served 23 years of his sentence. And with the help of Martha and her speaking on his behalf, Travis was granted release.
Wow.
Martha gave him a job and a place to live.
Good Lord.
As a matter of fact, Gladys, Travis's mother, still worked as a housekeeper for her.
Really?
I mean, look, Martha was, she was into restoring things. She restored the house and now she was restoring Travis.
I love the heart behind it.
Martha's family did not like this arrangement. Mm. Gladys had even told Martha not to let her son get too close.
What?
Yeah, she's like, I'm afraid Travis is going to go back to his old ways.
Oh, man.
When the mother is telling you that, you need to listen.
Oh, man.
Not long into Travis being there, Martha had $10,000 stolen. She had just sold a...
What a little pissant.
Yeah. She had just sold a beautiful chandelier, $10,000.
Good Lord.
And Travis knew that. He knew she had some money.
Wow.
She was sure that it was Travis that stole the money, and she fired him and kicked him out of the house.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. On March 25th of 2020, an alarm was sounded and alerted police to Martha's home.
No.
When they arrived, they found her back door was open, and then they saw a man jumping from the second story window. They ran after him, but the man got into a vehicle and drove off. The car got stuck on the property. So he got out and he started running. He jumped into the lake.
Oh my gosh.
He jumped into the lake, and the police saw him go under the water, but they never saw him come up. They're like, where did he go? Disappeared.
What?
Yeah.
Huh?
Confused. Where did he go?
Where did he go?
Other officers were at Martha's house where they found her lifeless body at the top of the staircase.
Oh my God.
She had been stabbed and beaten.
Oh my God.
She was wrapped in blankets.
Martha.
A bag of expensive items from the home was discovered sitting on a chair with a bloody knife nearby.
Mm.
She must have hit the alarm at some point of her being attacked. I mean, that's the only explanation.
Wow.
Going back to the scene at the lake where the man disappeared, police brought their sonar equipment to search the lake. Surely his body was in there. Like, he didn't come out.
Yeah, I've got to see this lake. In fact,
yeah, I'll post pictures
of it right now because I'm like, how can you be watching someone jump into this lake?
I think it's pretty big.
Okay. It's big.
Yeah.
I'll agree. But if you're standing there and you see someone jump in.
Right. You would think if they're going to swim.
Like, if like, they're swimming.
They're going to pop their head like, up and breathe.
Michael Phelps. And they have like the lung capacity of a champion? I mean, what is this?
Okay, so I'll tell you.
Go on.
Okay. The search with the sonar was fruitful, Candace.
What?
They found the man that jumped in the lake. He had drowned.
Oh, good.
The body that they pulled out from the lake belonged to Travis Lewis.
Wow.
He had cocaine, meth, and marijuana in his system. So no wonder he could not swim. It had been 24 years since her mother and cousin were murdered in the same house and by the same person.
Oh my gosh. That is just, oh, that's terrible.
I know. I'm so heartbroken that she thought she could restore him. A lot of people do that.
A lot of people. And the thing is though, it's great to have that heart.
And some people can.
Put yourself in danger.
I know.
Like, it's okay. Like, if you really believe you want to give him a second chance or you believed him, that doesn't mean you have to house him.
Right.
And give him a job.
Like, you can forgive someone, but you don't have to, like, reconcile and, like, be friends with them.
Okay, this is not her fault.
No,
This is not her fault.
No, absolutely not.
I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that it was her fault in any way, shape, or form. I just...
Absolutely not. But just be careful. Yes, forgive, but don't get close to that person again. Oh, bless her heart. Like, oh my she gosh, was such a beautiful so person. Terrible. The Snowden house was sold and remains closed today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Which is sad because I would love to go there.
So sad. We should go anyways.
We should.
We should. We could just go.
Do a road trip.
Yeah. I mean, do you think there's guards?
I doubt it. I don't know.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Isn't it beautiful? Oh. I know.
We're going. Let's leave now.
So there was a comment made, and I'll just end with this. How fitting and poetic it was for Travis to be swallowed up by the lake. Like, talk about justice.
Seriously. It's like the ghosts of the people he killed were like pulling him down in that water.
Right.
What a freaking idiot.
Yeah.
I just, wow. That's really sad.
It is sad. I mean, but don't do drugs, guys. I mean, kids, if you're listening, don't do drugs.
Oh, it's so sad. We just lost Liam Payne.
Oh, my girl.
It hurts. I'm still processing. It'll just make you another person.
Yeah, we've seen it over and over and over. Just learn from other people's mistakes. Don't do it.
I know. It's so hard. I've never done a drug in my life. So I truly like can't speak to the hold. But I've known other people. And it is a hold.
Yeah.
It is a hold, a choke hold.
Yes.
And I can't relate to that. So I can't say, you know, just don't do drugs. Don't try drugs.
Don't even start.
Don't even try. You know, get addicted to something else. I don't know, painting.
Sure.
Or, I don't know, being an entrepreneur. I think you can throw yourself into so many other things. Like if you have that addictive personality.
Oh, yeah.
Which I do not. I get bored very easily. But you could just pour yourself into so many worthwhile endeavors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have questions about the car. Like he drove the car away and made it, maybe he drove the car away and crashed it.
I mean,
he tried to do a getaway like he did this time, right. But he was too stupid.
So that's
still,
what I
all
have
this time later.
I have two theories on that. One, he wanted to throw investigators off, take her car, make it look like she crashed. And
I think he crashed it because he's stupid.
Yeah, that's the one that I'm going with is he was on drugs when he was when he killed Sally as well. And he thought he could drive. And I mean, he was 16. Did he have a driver's license? Had he driven before? I don't know. But yeah, I think he just tried to drive and get away and crashed the car.
Mm. Man, this one's really, really sad.
Yeah.
Like, because you have a child, which 16, 15 is a child.
15, right.
But he had a criminal history. Mm-hmm. He was already
starting.
Misbehaving and rotten.
And there was no restoration for him.
There is not restoring some people. Mm. Just sad to say.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm glad he drowned. So put that on my headstone. Oh, I'll stand by that.
Candace.
Glad he drowned. Oh. We should go to that house because I'm sure there's like some spirits there.
Oh, gosh.
And I just am so sad that a family that worked so hard to build a legacy.
Yeah.
And that's how it ended for his child, his great nephew.
Yeah.
And his granddaughter. Like, it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah. Something so beautiful.
Why must we? Why must we be like this? Why are we like this?
I have no answer for you.
Well, that was great. Let's do it again sometime.
All right. Let's do it.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. We're going to Horseshoe Lake. Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. Get connected with us by becoming a free member on our Patreon. Or for just $5 a month, you'll have access to bonus episodes, discussion groups, and much more. If you can't afford $5 a month, we get it. Inflation, am I right? Please consider leaving us a positive review and rating wherever you listen.
And don't forget merch. Support our podcast and show the love by sporting t-shirts with our latest designs or grab an evidence bag to keep the chain of custody for all your valuables. Don't forget to follow our show on your favorite streaming app so you never miss an episode, and get photos and updates on our Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or our Cousins on Crime Facebook page. Have a case suggestion? Email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.